As I thought about what to say to you today, all of those images of this week are what were in my mind, and all of those reactions that I have heard from you throughout the week. It has been a difficult week for many, a difficult week of trying to figure out how to deal with such a violent and needless and horrible act. How to deal with all of the despair and grief and destruction. And how to deal with all of the stories that are now coming out. All of the stories of people's loss. The president has given us three things that the president feels that as Americans we can do. And I think, you know, that is one of the struggles for us as people sitting here in Tallahassee versus in New York, where we could go down to the site and be volunteers and dig through the rubble, where we could go to the grief centers and sit with people and cry and pray with them. But from where we're sitting, there's that sense of helplessness. What can we do? So I am impressed with our president's ability to see that and to address that in saying there are three things that you can do as Americans. You can put up a flag to show that America is still here and that our spirit is still here and that we have not been defeated or despaired or overwhelmed by this beyond our ability to go on. You can give blood because there is going to be so much needed, and that very act alone could save a life. And thirdly, you can pray. Well, today, as your pastor standing before you, I would like to also say that there are three things that we can do, not simply as Americans, but as Christians, as we face this situation. Three things that we can do in light of what the president has said. The first thing I would say is the first thing we can do is invert the president's order. The first and foremost thing we need to be doing is praying. And I want to congratulate this church for the way in which they have come out to pray. For the stories that I have heard across this nation of how we as the church are holding these people up in prayer. Prayer is certainly something that we can do, are doing, and have done. Also, there is that matter of giving blood. Certainly, as Christians, we have an obligation to give that which we can physically. Jesus said, if you have an extra coat, give it to somebody who doesn't. And certainly, all of us who have an extra pint of blood to give at this point need to do that. But we have something more we can give. We can give physical blood for that which physically is needed at this time. But we also have something more. We have the blood of Jesus Christ. We have been saved by this blood. It has given us our hope and our assurance. It is our comfort in our times of need. And as that suffering of Christ has overflowed and saved us, the scriptures say, so the comfort that comes from that can overflow. And it, at this time, can save others. People are not just hurting physically right now. There are many that are hurting emotionally and are hurting spiritually. And we have something we can give for that. We have our assurance in Jesus Christ. We have our word of hope in Christ. So many times as I have sent or sat down or sent a sympathy card or sat down to talk with a family as they are struggling through grief and loss, it is so obvious there are no words. There are absolutely no words for what they are going through and what they are dealing with. And at this point in our country's history, for all of those families and all of those people who have suffered loss, there are no human words that can take away what has happened, that can give them relief from their grief. But there is the Word of God. the Word of God become flesh in the person of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is sufficient to be with them in this time of their need and grief. For if anyone knows what suffering is, what pain is, what hurt is, what feeling despaired and lost is, it is certainly our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that is something we have for ourselves, as well as something we can share with others. Thirdly, the President has asked that we put up a flag to show that we are still here as America, that we are still here as the USA and still in support, and we have not gone anywhere. There is something more we have to offer than to say that a government is still here. We have to offer to say to people that God is still here, that God still reigns, that God is still Lord. I shared on our Thursday night service one of my favorite hymns. It's "This Is Our Father's World," and in the last verse of that hymn, it says, "Though the wrong be oft so strong, God is the ruler yet." We need to not only declare that the U.S. is still here, we need to be declaring that God is still here, that God is still in charge, and that evil will not defeat good. Evil may have had its day. It may have raised its ugly head. And there is no question that the men and even women who planned this, who implemented this, intended this for great harm. They chose evil. They chose hate. And they acted on that. And I find that so sad. Because if you think about the men who did this, they were people that were obviously very intelligent, very gifted, very dedicated, very determined. And to think that they wasted their life on hate. What a loss that people of such value, that people that Jesus died for, instead of choosing to serve God, would choose to serve hate. I hope we do not make that same choice. That we choose God in the midst of all of this and know that God still reigns. And that we declare that with our lives, and with our mouths, and with our actions. We know that God has this tremendous ability, and as Leonard and I talk, you remind me of this constantly, as one of the things God has really brought to light in your life, that God has the ability to bring incredible good, incredible value out of the worst things. God can redeem anything. And redeem really means to buy something back. Now, there is no question that these men meant this for evil. No question in my mind whatsoever. I don't think anyone could argue that what they did was the will of God. I don't think anyone could argue that on a biblical basis. And yet, I assure you that because God reigns, and because love not hate will have the last word, and because good not evil will have the last word, and because God and not this world will have the last word, that good will come of this. Because God will find a way. It may seem there is no way, but God will find a way because God always does. There are some ways in which I have already seen God working in this situation that have really amazed me. One of those is how many people I have seen come to God in prayer. I am amazed at the way this nation has come together. When you hear the reports from New York City, it amazes me the way that community has come together to serve one another. And indeed, in doing so, are serving God. They are risking their lives for others. No greater love has one than to lay down his life for a friend. And there are people who are digging through that rubble putting their lives at risk that they might help somebody else. That is God at work. In addition, I've been, and in some ways, because we have seen how that happens in the light of tragedy, I am not so amazed by that as I am amazed by what I've seen in the world community. Have you all been amazed at when you watch TV and people in England are crying for what has happened in New York? They are lifting up prayers for what has happened in New York. And not just in England, but all over this world, and even in Muslim countries. This world has come together in a way I haven't seen it come together in a long time, and stand together as one saying, we will not stand for hate having its reign in this world any longer. We are going to stand as one against terrorism. It's about time. And God is already bringing good out of this situation in that very small way. What would happen, though, if as a people and as a nation, we didn't stop with terrorism, and we didn't stop with this situation and this kind of hate and this kind of oppression, but that we got on our knees in prayer and we got beside each other in work and we gathered as a world and said, no more are we going to allow oppression and hate and evil to have its reign. We are going to have the kind of commitment and dedication to God to listen to the will of God, to bring about the will of God in this world. What would happen if as this situation becomes distant and life returns to all of its normalness, we don't stop praying? But we just get started. And we don't stop sharing the comfort of Jesus Christ. But we just get started. And we don't stop assuring people that God is in charge and that God's will happen in this world. But we just get started. And after terrorism, we head for all the other ways in which evil and oppression tries to have sway over our lives in this world. What would happen if we allowed God to work in that way in our lives, in our church, in our community, in our nation, and in our world? Would you pray with me? Lord, we are so glad that you are still on your throne in heaven, that you have not abandoned us, but indeed have suffered right alongside us. You have cried every tear that has been cried. You have felt every pain that has been felt. And you have experienced this great loss. Lord, we thank you that you have not spared even your Son, Jesus Christ, that we might know the assurance of your love. Lord, bring us to our knees. And give us the guidance that we need at this time, as well as the guidance our national and world leaders need at this time, that we would not allow this opportunity to pass to do your will, and that we would not allow the opportunities that are before us daily to go unnoticed and unacted upon. Lord, your grace has been amazing in our life. Let us not be ashamed to share it. We praise your name. Amen. I've chosen Amazing Grace as our closing hymn this morning, and I've chosen it for lots of reasons. One, y'all love to sing it, and I think we need to sing those things which give us the assurance and the hope that we need. We need to remember the grace in our lives. But I've also chosen it for the last verse. You'll find it on page number 378, and the last verse of Amazing Grace is my absolute favorite. I'm being very wordy tonight, but this is one of my favorite songs. was cut off. They didn't have it. And when we would sing in the church growing up, my mother would never sing the last verse as printed in the hymnal. She would always sing, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Today, that's what we need to remember. This week is temporary. God is eternal. Will you join me in singing?